Good morning. I invite your attention to the book of Hebrews. But before I start, I have a couple things I'd like to say. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for your love gift last week. I am sorry to report to you I gained 2 pounds from eating all those tomatoes. I weigh every Sunday morning, and I weigh 2 more pounds today than I did last week. And I blame it on zucchini bread and tomato sandwiches. But thank you very much. Thank you for your love gift. Of all the churches I've been in, that was the biggest love gift I've ever received. Amen. Thank you. I would like to invite your attention to my weekly blog. It's called Frank's Reflections at frankcottle.com. I write every week. It's usually posted Tuesday night, late Tuesday night, and sometimes Wednesday, depending on me and me listening to God. But I would like to invite you to that. This week's theme, I haven't produced a title yet, but it's basically, You're Never Too Old. It's about Moses. Moses' ministry did not start until he was 80 years old. So what kind of excuse do we have? For 40 years, he labored. He was not always popular with the nation of Israel, but he was faithful. And God used him in a marvelous way, and I was just going to highlight a couple points in that blog concerning that. But I would appreciate it if you take time to look at it and tell others about it. My normal readership is somewhere in the neighborhood of about 80 to 100, but in the last 6 weeks or so, I've been spending more time just relating scripture, and the readership has cut in half. So I don't know, I can't explain that, except I'm staying with it. I'd like to invite your attention to Hebrews chapter 7. I want to read a verse of scripture, and then I'm going to do some backtrack and give you some preliminaries and speak to you what the Lord laid on my heart. Verse number 25, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That last part of that last sentence there, he makes intercession for them, was a thought that grabbed my mind, and I began to meditate on it and develop it and do some research on it. And that's what I want to try to explain a little bit today, because Jesus is all about caring for believers. He wants people to be saved, but once we come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, he is constantly bringing you before his Heavenly Father. He makes intercession for you. You are that well thought of, that valuable, that he talks to his dad all the time about you. And I want to share a few thoughts concerning that with you. And I want to look at what he did yesterday, what he's doing today, and what he will do forever. In John chapter 17, talking about yesterday, just one little part of that verse, Jesus prayed for his disciples. Jesus specifically said, I prayed for them. He was with them. He was in his last week of ministry. And he reminded his disciples that he prays for them. And then in that dialogue, he goes on down in verse number 20 and 21. Jesus fast forwards to you and I. He said, I do not pray for these alone, that's the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. We have a lot of scripture. We have Matthew and 1st and 2nd Peter and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John and the book of Revelation, and written by the disciples. So they left a written word, a living word for you and I to read and understand. That's over a third of the New Testament written by the disciples. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. But the book of Hebrews, a lot of people say that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I would argue with that based upon the fact that he doesn't use a familiar phrase that in the book of Hebrews that he always talks about. And the fact is also that the grammar construction in the Greek language is heavier, harder to understand than any of the other writings of the Apostle Paul. That's my defense. It's a big deal with some people. I'm not going to argue over it. That's what I believe and why I believe it. But Christ cares about you and I. Don't ever think that God has turned his back on you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what you said, he cares for you. I love my two children. I don't agree with them 100% of the time. I got a hard-headed son. He's not faithful in the house of God. We raised him in the house of God. But the world got a hold of him, and he hasn't returned, basically. I talk to him every now and then. I call him. He doesn't call me. I think kids ought to call their parents. That's my thought. But most kids don't practice that. We happen to live with our daughter, so we have an apartment downstairs, and they're upstairs. And I don't see my daughter every day. Sometimes it's, as a matter of fact, I haven't seen her for 2 weeks now. They've been on vacation. They come back today, and they bring those two grandkids in. So I'm trying to remember. Age is slipping up on 7 and 5, or maybe 8 and 5. I can't remember. But they're live wires. I can tell you that. When they enter the house, the dog starts barking. We've been babysitting dog for 2 weeks now, and he misses his playmates. I don't play with him like they play with him. But he shows up. He shows up in our place. He sleeps upstairs, and he comes down when it's time to eat. He knows when it's time to eat. And I give him his food. He gobbles it down. He's changed his pattern a little bit. He eats about half of it, and it comes in and says, okay, I need to go out. He goes out, comes back, and finishes again, and then he wants me to pet him. That's his routine. But see, we have routines along the way. But the Lord takes care of us. He said he would take care of you and I. He is our intercessor. And then today, he is seated at the right hand of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, I read really verse number 22, but I'll start in verse 21. Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. He is seated beside his heavenly Father. They have a close communication. But in his communication, he is always talking to his Father in behalf of you and I. Jesus is making a personal appeal for each of us. Now, I want that to sink in. Jesus is making a personal appeal for you to his Father. As a believer, you belong to Jesus. He is forever interceding for you. He loves you. He may not always agree with everything that you do, and if you were honest, you would know that he would not agree with everything that you do or everything that you say. If you really want to get honest with yourself, he doesn't agree with a lot of the thoughts that you have. Our thoughts, I'm glad that nobody knows those thoughts except God. I wish he didn't know some of my thoughts, to be honest. I wouldn't want my wife to know some of my thoughts, because sometimes I'd like to really say some things. Any of you married people feel ever bite your tongue? You bite your tongue because you don't want to add fuel to the fire. And I bite my tongue occasionally. I bit it this morning. I wanted to say something. We were having a discussion over something stupid, whether something came in the mail or not. And it didn't come in the mail as of about 6:30 last night. But she says, it's here. My phone says it's here. They said they put it in the mailbox. I said it wasn't in the mailbox at 6:30. So I walked out to the mailbox this morning, picked up her package, brought it in. I told her that it wasn't in the mail. I told her that my daughter had a package. It was on the front porch, and I thought it was in the mailbox when I relayed it to her. And anyway, we had this discussion over the mail being delivered. When I get back home, I think I may keep my mouth shut. I think I'm going to say, now what time did you get that message that said it was in the mailbox? It was a FedEx box. It's not supposed to be in the mailbox. It's supposed to be on the front porch. Not supposed to be in the mail. That's my opinion, okay? But we're going to have this discussion maybe. If I don't chicken out and back out, I may back out just for argument's sake. But Jesus makes intercession for you and I in for the things that we say and the things that we do. That's present time. I want to spend the last couple minutes about forever time. Hebrews chapter 7, the verse where I started off with. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read verse number 24. But he, that is the Lord, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for you and I. He lives to make intercession for us. That's something we don't think about. At least I don't think about it all the time. But it is refreshing to know that our Savior loves us enough to go to bat for us on a continual basis. Because we're not perfect. We never will be this side of heaven. But he goes to bat for us. And basically, the summation, at least my thought of the summation is, Father, they asked me to save them, and I have. They belong to me. Because they belong to me, they're going to spend eternity with us. So would you be with them and be kind to them and protect them and provide for them? And if you look at your life, you'll see that God has always protected you. It could always have been worse. He has provided for you. I mentioned earlier I gained 2 pounds this week, okay? If you look at your waistline, you will see that God has provided for a lot of you. If you look at your closet, you will see that you have more than one set of clothes. Or you have more than one pair of shoes. Or if you look in your cupboard or your refrigerator, you will find that you have food. Most of you came in some vehicle. That vehicle has gas in it. God provides for you and I, and we take it for granted so much. I'm thankful that I can see. I have to use glasses to see up close, but I'm glad that I can see. I'm glad that I can walk. I'm not as healthy as I used to be. I can't do some of the things I used to do, but some of the things I can do better now than I ever done in my life. I would invite you to develop a ministry of prayer. You and God. If Jesus can intercede for you, then you can pray and ask Him to continue to intercede for you and to provide for you and be thankful for what He has given you. You could have been born in the Amazon. You wouldn't have to worry about the heat bill or the electric bill. You'd have the sun, the moon, and what fires you start. That would be your light. Be thankful that we live in a place that we have so much. Jesus makes intercession for you, and just take time to thank Him along the way. Jesus talks favorably to His Heavenly Father about you. I'm careful to say this, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but Jesus basically says, Dad, they belong to me. Would you take care of them? See, that's part of His unchangeable, unalterable priesthood. As a priest, He's the go-between God the Father and you and I. He is constantly, constantly intervening for you and I. I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't use what we call snail mail or email or text. He doesn't have, you know, the younger generation, they don't talk to each other. They sit side by side and just text each other. I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't text His dad. He just turns and says, Heavenly Father, they belong to me. He's our intercessor. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 declares that Christ, who died and furthermore is also risen, is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I'm so glad I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a living Savior. If He can rise from the dead and we belong to Him, we can rise from the dead if we die. But I sort of hope that I'm living in a time where I won't experience death. I'll just be translated. I'll be raptured out of here. I think it'd be neat to fly one day. I really do. I think it'd be neat to fly. I don't know how, when He's going to come back for us or how He's going to take care of us, but I know He has provided for me along the way. But not only did He make intercession for us, but if I read verse number 35, I've got to get in the right book here. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now listen to the list of things he gives. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? None of those things is going to affect my relationship with God. Then in verse number 38, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, not height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you ask Jesus to save you and give you eternal life, bank on it, you're going to heaven. There's no doubting about it. I don't care how bad you mess up. And there are some people who really have blown it along the way. But once they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, heaven's their home. And that's hard to convince someone who's not in their Bible. They've heard something, they justify, the old devil gets in their mind and says, because you've done this, you're not going to heaven, blah, blah, blah. And what he's trying to do is get the Christian discouraged so they won't influence others for Jesus. That's what he's trying to do. If he can shut your mouth so that you won't witness, then he's scored a victory. But I would encourage you to open your mouth and say something positive about Jesus. He got me up today. I was able to stand up. Most of you had breakfast somewhere along the day. Somewhere. You had something to eat, most of you. I don't know, some of you probably haven't had anything. But God takes care of you and I. He protects us. He watches over us. I'm just reminded again and again and again when I mess up, and God, the Holy Spirit probably says, Frank, you need to say this, and I don't. Jesus leans over and says, Dad, he's mine. He's mine. Jesus, this is hard for me to comprehend. Jesus personally makes an appeal for every believer. I don't know how many people have accepted Jesus as their Savior and that's walking the earth today. But statistics I read a long time ago says about 10% of the world knows Jesus as their Savior. Well, I'm the math person. There's over 7 billion people. That means there's 700 million people that know Jesus, and Jesus listens to every one of us. I can't listen to two people at the same time, let alone millions, and keep them all straight and keep the language and understand every language that's being spoken. I don't know how many languages there are on the earth. I've heard there's over 1,000. Just visualize if, this is not true, but if Jesus needed a translator, and there's 1,000 translators translating our prayers at the same time, and he's answering them all. And he's answering them, and their translators are coming back and reassuring you in your mind that Jesus heard you. You have the authority of the Word of God that Jesus hears your prayers. And he intervenes for you because he is our intercessor. He makes that personal appeal for everybody. So it doesn't make any difference of the events or our sins or our failures. They cannot separate us from the love of God. Can't happen. In Psalm 110, in verse number 4, there's one little short phrase there that I want to draw attention to. And that is, you are my priest forever. Jesus is your intercessor forever. I don't care how old you are. I go back to the thought of Moses. 80 years old when he started. Most Christians appear to quit being faithful, quit serving God after they reach a certain age. I fight that battle all the time. You say, how do you do that? Well, I'm going to get myself in trouble. But I can run out and I can come back for a while. Most people don't want an old preacher. My question is, what are we supposed to do? As long as I have breath and as long as I have health, I want to preach. Amen. Bottom line, yes, I want to preach. I may not be able to pastor a church, but I want to preach. Right now, I don't have any place scheduled for next week, but I want to preach. I don't have anything scheduled the week after that, but I want to preach. And by God's grace, and if he's going to give me a place to preach. I want to share the word of God. You need to have the same desire to share the word of God, share the life that God's given you, to tell others who do not have what you have spiritually.